come, bowing down before your throne. We know that we could never repay all we owe, but you said that we could come before you as we are, as we are.
This is a recorded teaching of the Heart to Heart Bible Study titled, Yet I Will Rejoice, a chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse study through the book of Habakkuk. More information about this study is available on our website at www.refugefamily.com/womensministry.
Hello, hello, good evening to all of you ladies. I am excited to get together with you tonight. Tonight is when we're getting together, not this morning, but tonight, and we are thankful to be together, to have this time together, and just to be able to join in together on all of this. I hope you had a great, weirdest Mother's Day of all. This was the one time I got to see all of my kids, got to talk to all of my kids, and just was a great time with that part of it, and I hope that you had that great time as well. And it was a great service on Sunday with the ending with that song and everything. It was just so wonderful. And that song is called The UK Blessing. That was the one that we watched at that time, The UK Blessing. So if you want to look it up, and you can watch it as well. I want to remind you of the 12 o'clock every day, the fireside chats, different person every day. It's very informative. We get to learn something new every day. I know that Wednesdays are Wilson Wednesdays, and then on Friday is usually Bill and me. So I don't know who's on the other days, but every day is filled with good things for you to learn and to be a part of. Wednesday night, I want to remind you, Wednesday night, 6:30, Pastor Bill will be teaching us. 7 o'clock on Thursday night is man-to-man men's study. That's going to be right where you're watching right now. It'll be in the same place with Pastor Allen. Saturday night for our weekend services, Saturday night at 6 o'clock, Sunday, 7:30 a.m., 9 a.m., 11 a.m., and then there's a different service that is at 7 p.m. Again, all of these have childcare provided. It's provided right there in your very own home, and maybe you will even have snacks during the time that you are watching these teachings, but I'm thankful that your kids are cared for, and so I hope you will join us every opportunity that you get. I want to remind you that food for those who are a part of Refuge is available on Monday and Tuesday from 11 to 12 o'clock. Now, you don't have to be destitute to come and get some of that food. You don't have to even be in dire need to get some of that food. And we really want you to participate in this because we have a lot of food on those days, and we want to get it to people who will actually use it. So if you are part of Refuge, 11 to 12 o'clock on Monday and Tuesdays, and then also on Monday and Tuesday from 2 to 3, that same offer is to the public to come and line up and come and get some groceries. And we have eggs, we have milk, we have cheese, we have fresh fruits, we have fresh vegetables, we have canned goods, we have boxed goods, we have pastries, we have bread, we have all yogurt. You never know what you're gonna get. So come and be a part of that. We're gonna be finishing this Bible study on May 26th. May 26th is going to be the day that we finish this Bible study. We will have finished going through Ruth, Esther, and Habakkuk by the 26th. And but what we're going to do is then take a week off in June, that first week in June, and then on June 9th, we're going to start our summer series. And that summer series will begin on June 9th at the same times on Tuesdays, It will be the same way as it is now. There's no sign up necessary. There is no charge. And right now we don't have any homework available for it, but we will get those things. We would love to have you join us beginning on June 9th and through the summer. And on that, also on that note, we are also putting together our women's retreat. Now, we had it scheduled for August 7th through the 9th, and I just talked with the retreat center last night or yesterday, and they're telling me, let's go for it. Let's go ahead and plan. Let's pretend that we're going just like nothing ever happened, and let's see what God will do. Let's just see what God will do, because God may come through with this, and of course, there'll probably be some rearranging of things, and the number of people in a room, maybe it'll even be down to one per room. Who knows? But we will have, we are putting together the women's retreat for August 7th through the 9th, and we want you to be a part of that. So that will be up on our website, refugefamily.com/womensministry. And there will be information available there very soon, if not already. So as I was, I was sent this verse yesterday by Carolyn Merlo, I believe her name is. Last name, I wasn't sure, but Carolyn sent me this verse from Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. God knew that I needed that reminder. I can get so caught up in the negative things. I can get so caught up in all of the stuff that's going on around me. And God needs to remind me to whatsoever things are good, true, pure, lovely, of good report, anything worthy of praise, to set my mind on that. So I made a little list of some things that I am thankful for. I need to remember to be thankful for things in my life. And the number one thing that I am thankful for, today anyway, is 99.89% of all the people who get the virus survive. 99.89% of all the people who get the virus survive. So that, I'm thankful for that. That encourages me on that. I am thankful for the family of five that I heard about that all got the virus, all have recovered. We are praying for that one that is still in the hospital right now, but they have all recovered from it. I'm thankful for that. That has to do with the prayers that we are petitioning before the Lord and just putting that before Him. I'm thankful that the beaches are opened, mostly opened. I'm thankful that California is beginning to reopen. I'm thankful that I have a God who loves me and that a God who allows me to do what I do, to share the gospel with you ladies. And I am excited about what I do. I love that God has blessed me in this way. And I'm thankful to see the growth of the church while the buildings are closed. I love seeing the growth of the church while the buildings are being closed. People are coming to Christ during this time. People are growing in their love for the Lord. So it's very exciting for me to see what's going on. And so, Lord, I thank you for so many things, Lord. This is just a little sprinkling of the things that we have to be thankful for. And, Lord, I pray, God, that you would just speak to us tonight, Lord. Father, I pray for your fresh anointing to be on me in the name of Jesus, that I would hear your voice, Lord, saying, these are the words to say. I pray, Father, that everything that comes across is totally from you, totally and completely from you. And we thank you, Lord, for the time that we have together. In Jesus' name, amen. And so I have been thinking a lot about the rapture of the church. And my head keeps going back to that time when Jesus said that he was going to come back for his church. In John 14:1-3, it says, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I know that when God said, I go to prepare a place for you, when he said, I will come back for you, that he is a man of his word. He is doing what he promised he would do. He is preparing a place for us, and I will come and I will receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. In 1 Corinthians 15, 51 and 52, 1 Corinthians 15, 51 and 52, behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Now, this is not just a sign in the nursery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. That was in a number of nurseries that I worked in as I was growing up as a Christian, growing in my Christian walk. But that's not what we're talking about. We shall not all die, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise incorruptible, and we shall be changed. We're going to be changed. We're going to be changed into his likeness in the twinkling of an eye. What is a twinkling of the eye? It's faster than a snap of the fingers. It's faster than a blink. It's just a twinkling. We won't even realize that it's happened, and all of a sudden, there we will. We will be standing before the Lord. And as we look at Luke 21, 8 through 28. Now, Luke 21, starting at verse 8, is the beginning of the explanation of what verse 28 is talking about, and we're just going to look at verse 28. Now when these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your head, because your redemption draws nigh. Look up and lift up your head, for your redemption draws nigh. In Psalm 27:13, it says, in Psalm 27:13, I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I would have lost heart unless I could have seen the goodness of God, the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I would have lost heart if today I didn't see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, in the places that I'm living in right now. In John 14:29, Jesus said, I've told you this beforehand, that when it comes, you will believe. I've told you these things beforehand, that when it comes, you will believe, in John 14:29. I've told you beforehand so that you're not taken by them. You're not confused by it when it happens, that you will know exactly what God's doing. So don't grow weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. Galatians 6:9. Don't grow weary in well-doing. You guys are all doing some marvelous things, some wonderful things. Don't grow weary, for in due season you shall reap if we faint not. And Jesus is coming for his people, and I needed to be reminded of that. Now, last Saturday, as I was just kind of reading over and studying over this second chapter of Habakkuk, I was in tears as I sat at my kitchen table and just went through it, and the things that the Lord was giving me at that particular time. Apparently, most of it was just for me, because I couldn't remember anything. I didn't write it down, and I don't remember a whole lot of what he said at that time. But I'm not going to say that I labored over this, but this chapter so spoke to my heart. It is a chapter that was for that time. It is a chapter for the time that is before us, ahead of us, at the coming of the Lord. And it is also a time for right now, the day that we live in right today. So let's get into it. In chapter 2, I will stand my watch. I will stand my watch. I will set myself on the rampart. I will set myself upon that wide place on top of the wall, and I will look out and I will be a watchman. I will stand my watch. I have decided that I will stand my watch. You recall that he's just gone through, Habakkuk has just gone through his complaining in chapter 1, his complaining, God speaking to him, and then Habakkuk coming back with it. And now he comes with, because of what God has told me, I will stand. I will be a watchman. Now, the responsibility of the watchman, and I will watch to see what he will say to me and what I will answer when I am corrected. Habakkuk realized that he had need of correction. Most of us don't like to be corrected. Most of us don't like somebody telling us what to do. But Habakkuk realized he needed some correction. In that first chapter, he got the idea, yeah, I need to change some things that I'm thinking about. I need to change the way that I see some things. So what was the responsibility of the watchman? The watchman is to watch for things that are coming upon the people, and they are to warn the people of impending danger, of coming danger. A watchman is to warn the people of coming danger. If a watchman did not warn the people, if he wasn't faithful to it, their hands were smeared with the blood of the people who died because they hadn't been warned and they weren't prepared for it. That's where we get that phrase, their blood is on your hands. It would have been smeared on their hands as proof that they were not a faithful watchman. And so he is ready to be corrected. And then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision. First of all, write the vision. Put it down, put it in writing, and make it plain on tablets. Make it plain. There is nothing complicated about the gospel. Write the vision and make it plain. Make it, explain it clearly. Don't complicate it. Just write the vision and make it plain that he may run who reads it, that the person that reads it is able to take it and work with it. We need to work with the gospel. We need to be able to work with that gospel that's there. So write the vision and make it plain and make it clear. I have sat under teachers that use the biggest words. Now, I know a lot of you are very, very smart people, and big words don't bother you. I am not that quick with big words. And so with the big words, I would, while I was listening to this teacher, by the time I had figured out what that word meant, they're on a completely different subject. I haven't even caught up with them yet. So share the gospel plainly and clearly, and so that those who take part in it, those who get together on it, can use it and they can pass it on to others. And for the vision, verse 3, for the vision is yet for an appointed time. It's not for right now, it's for an appointed time. And this is where he was not only speaking to the Chaldeans, it also refers to the coming of Christ. But at the end, it will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. It will come as God said that it would come. And so in Hebrews 10:37, if you would, turn with me to Hebrews 10:37. And in Hebrews 10:37, it says, for yet a little while, and he, speaking of Christ, it has a capital H on that, for he who is coming will come, and he will not tarry. He will come and he will not tarry. What God said he will do, he will do. Turn with me also to Daniel chapter 8. Daniel chapter 8, a little bit to the left of Habakkuk. Daniel chapter 8, and we're going to go to verse 17. And in verse 17, where Gabriel is speaking and making a vision clear to Daniel. And so he came near where I stood. Gabriel came near to where Daniel stood, and when he came, I was afraid, and I fell on my face, and he said to me, understand, son of man, that the vision refers to the time of the end. The vision refers to the time of the end. So now it's speaking way into the future at the time of the end. And drop down to verse 19. And he said, "Look, I am making known to you what shall happen in the latter time of the indignation, for at the appointed time the end shall be." All of this is going to come to an end. All of this is going to come to an end. Jesus Christ is going to come for his church. There is going to be times of tribulation as has never been before. We are not to be a part of that. But God himself said that this is for an appointed time at the end. Wait for it. Just wait for it. Again, John 14, 29. Again, I've told you these things beforehand so that when they happen, you may believe. So wait for it. In 2 Peter 3, 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise. He is a man of his word. He will keep his promise just as he said he would. As some count slackness. He's not slack, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And then it goes on, God is not willing that anyone should perish, but that all should come to repentance, because we shared with them so plainly, so clearly, so simply what the gospel is. What is that gospel? The gospel is that Jesus Christ was born, that he lived, that he died on that cross. He rose again from that cross. And he said that he will come for us, that we might have eternal life. That's the simple gospel. That's all it is, that we might have eternal life. He came, he lived, he died on the cross, he rose from the dead because death could not hold him. He rose from the dead that we might have eternal life. That's the gospel. And so I've told you these things beforehand. He's not slack, as some count slackness. He's long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And in verse 10 of 2 Peter 3, it says, "The day of the Lord shall come as a thief in the night." Now, the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night to those who are not loving his appearing. For those who are not looking for his coming, it will come to them as a surprise. It will take them by surprise. But that's not so of you, because you are looking for the coming of the Lord. You are looking for him to come for you. And so it won't catch you by surprise. We'll move right down to verse 4. "Behold the proud." Take a look at the proud. "His soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith." The just shall live by his faith. Hebrews 10, 38. We were just there in Hebrews 10, 37. Now in Hebrews 10, 38, it says that the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. And so, so what is that faith? Hebrews 11, 1. "Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen." It is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That was Hebrews 11, 1. In Galatians 3, 11, "By grace you have been saved." Through what? Through faith. "And that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, lest any man should boast." It is a gift of God. That faith that is a gift of God. That eternal life is a gift of God. You are saved through faith. Faith is the substance of things that are hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So Habakkuk here, God through Habakkuk is giving his people encouragement when he says, "His soul is not upright in him, indeed, but the just shall live by faith." Verse 5, "Indeed, because he transgresses by wine, he is a proud man." He's a proud man. We know what happens with pride. When people are boastful and they're so arrogant, God said in Proverbs 16, 18, "Pride comes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall." Pride comes before the fall. Pride will bring us down. It will bring us down every time. And he does not stay at home. This that we're talking about in this text, He doesn't want to stay at home. He doesn't want to hang around here. He wants to always be out and about and doing everything because he enlarges his desire as hell. You remember that last week we talked about that the Chaldeans are like the east wind. And when the east wind comes through, it just picks up everything along with it and leaves nothing behind. It enlarges its desire as hell. And he is like death and cannot be satisfied, like death and cannot be satisfied. He gathers to himself all nations and heaps up for himself all peoples. That's what the Chaldeans were doing. That's what the Antichrist will do. That's what we are in. There will be a time when there will be that one world thing, just as Scripture tells us. God, through Habakkuk, is telling us what's going to happen to the Chaldeans, to the enemy, and to the proud. So that's what's going to happen along with them. So verse 6, will not all these things take up a proverb against him and a taunting riddle against him and say, woe to him who increases what is not his. How long will you be allowed to steal these things? How long will you be allowed to do these things, to carry on this way with this increase? And to him who loads himself with many pledges. To him who loads himself with many pledges, will not your creditors rise up suddenly? Will they not awaken who oppress you, and you will become their booty? Making pledges. You know when you pay for something with a credit card, you are making a pledge. You pledge that you are going to pay that amount of money. You have promised. You made a pledge to the company, to the store, that you will pay this amount of money. And so the Hebrews were being made slaves at this time. Pledges to the Lord also come due, just as these credit card bills come due. Pledges to the Lord come through. And I know I've told my ladies, you're my ladies. I have told you before, those of you who have been in here before, I know that you know the story of the day years and years and years and years and years ago when I was taking drugs and I took some acid and I didn't come down from the acid and I had spoken to the Lord and I made a pledge. I told the Lord that if he brought me down off of that awful trip, that I would never touch it again. And those of you who know the story know that God spoke to my heart and he said, this time, and I knew that God told me, don't mess with me on this one. You're not going to do this again, so stop it. And I made a pledge that if he got me down, I would stop it immediately and never do it again. I have never done it again, and I was brought down immediately. God did that. I made a pledge to him, and he has followed through on it. Warren Wiersbe breaks down this chapter 2 in 3 different sections if you want to break it down on your own at some other point when you're studying through it. So in verse 4, it emphasizes on 3 different things that it emphasizes. In verse 4b, it emphasizes God's grace. In 4b, it emphasizes God's grace. In verse 14, it emphasizes God's glory. 14 will be coming up too soon, so it emphasizes his glory. And in verse 20, it emphasizes his government. So it emphasizes his grace in verse 4, his glory in grace in verse 14, and his God's government in verse 20. He tells us that empires rise and fall, but God is still on the throne. So don't, thou shalt not sweat it. God is still on the throne. He is still there. He has never left. He's still in charge. Verse 8, because you have plundered many nations. It's talking about the Chaldeans. Because you have plundered many nations, all the remnant of the people shall plunder you. Remember, God said, I will always have a remnant of people. We just finished in the book of Esther, and there was a remnant of God's people. He promised to always have a remnant of people. And because, and then it goes on to say, because of men's blood and the violence of the land and the city and of all who dwell in it. I can't help but think of New York. I cannot help but think of the deaths. When the governor said one coronavirus death was too much, was too many, I couldn't help but think about all those babies, all of the abortion that continued on, all the abortion that went on, and the law that they put into effect that was for the entire time of the pregnancy, that it could be aborted. And even if that child survived the abortion attempt, it did not have any rights, and it was allowed to die, and they celebrated it. It was blood that was built on New York City. I'm sorry, but that's the way that it is. They celebrated the deaths of these babies, and they're not even counted in the death count. So, anyway, moving on from that, woe to him, verse 9, who covets evil gain for his house, that he may set his nest on high, like an eagle sets his nest on high because he thinks he's safe up there. He thinks he can just look down on everybody else and he's going to be safe. He's going to have security. But what they had was a false security. And I'll tell you, if you trust in anything else but God, you have a false security. You cannot trust, and although I am not against any of these things that I'm going to say, I do not trust in them. My trust is in the Lord God. I don't trust in the CDC. I don't trust in the HHS. I don't trust in the governors. I don't trust in the senators. I don't trust in our president or in any of the leaders. My trust is not established there. I pray for them. I am told to pray for them because God has placed them in those positions and he causes them to move as he wants them to move. And so God is there. I pray for them, but my trust is not built on whether or not they do this or that. My trust is built on Christ alone. God will never fail me. God is still on the throne. He may be finishing up in verse 9, that he may be delivered from the power of disaster. So that's how he has his nest up there. In verse 10, you give shameful counsel to your house, cutting off many people, and sin against your soul. For the stone will cry out from the wall. The stone will cry out from the wall. I think when I read that, I think if these walls could talk, if these walls could talk, here's some stone walls that talk. Go with me to Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19, verse 40. In Luke 19, verse 40, we're going to go up to verse 38. It's Palm Sunday. People are just rejoicing. They're saying, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees called to him from the crowd, teacher, rebuke your disciples. Now again, we're in Luke 19 and we're coming up on verse 40. But Jesus answered and said to them, I tell you that if these should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out. The walls would talk. The walls would give praise to the Lord our God. And so the beam from the timber will answer it. Verse 12, woe to him who builds a town with bloodshed, who establishes a city by iniquity. The Chaldeans built on bloodshed, murdering innocent victims. And again, I've got to go back to the innocent victims that we continue to, our country continues to say that they are essential businesses. They were proud of their cities. The Chaldeans were proud of their cities. And aren't we proud of our cities? Aren't we proud of our cities? And yet we have a city that is called, has a nickname of Sin City. In Las Vegas, Sin City. is losing millions of dollars because the slot machines can't be used right now. We're proud of that city. The prostitution is not acceptable right now. It's Sin City, and we were proud of it. That the peoples labor to feed the fire. They labor to be a part of that. And nations weary themselves in vain. And then verse 14 comes. Oh, I love verse 14. But let's, first of all, nations weary themselves in vain. In verse 13, before the virus hit, people were running to and fro, and knowledge was increasing like that. Have you noticed that today? Knowledge is, it changes like that, faster than the snap of my fingers. People running to and fro, and then we had to slow down. That knowledge was increased. Daniel, go to Daniel chapter 12 and take a look at what it says there, that what is going to happen in these last days. In chapter 12, in verse 4, But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. That is the day, people, that we are living in right now. We are living in the last days right now. We need to be looking for the coming of the Lord. And right in all of this, God gives us verse 14. For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. The earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Today, more people than ever during this time of having to stay in are seeking the Lord. The nominal Christian, the person that just, they got saved and then they went on to live their life the way that they wanted to. There was really no change in their life. That nominal Christian is calling to remembrance those things that they've known, those things that they had abandoned long ago. And God is bringing those things to their remembrance, and they are getting an on-fire walk with God. Right now, today, that is happening because these are the last days, and God is pouring out His Spirit and causing people to come to Him, people giving their lives to Christ. Again, let me say, I love how the church has grown while the buildings are closed. I love to see how the church has grown as the buildings are closed up tight. The church continues to grow. Luke 21, 28, look up for your redemption draws nigh. Look up for your redemption draws nigh. Woe to him who gives drink to his neighbor, pressing him to your bottle, even to make him drunk, that you may look on his nakedness. Now, is this just talking about really looking on his physical nakedness? You're wanting to draw him in, and the enemy wants to draw you in. Just be assured, the enemy wants to draw you in for the purpose of taking advantage of you. And this person that we're talking about right now, the Chaldeans, they wanted to draw people in for the purpose of taking advantage of them. So it's not necessarily talking about specifically about adultery. It's not talking about the sexual nature of things only. It's talking about, I want to uncover everything about you. I want to embarrass you. I want to take advantage of you. I want to see everything that you call yours right now. They wanted to, you are filled with shame instead of glory. You are filled with shame instead of glory. You also drink and be exposed as uncircumcised. What happens when people get drunk? The cup of the Lord's right hand will be turned against you, and utter shame will be your glory. Utter shame will be your glory. What happens when people get drunk? When Esther, the king, in the book of Esther, when the king got drunk, what happened? He gave up his first queen. He gave up his queen, Vashti, in a drunken stupor. while he was being so prideful and so led by other people. His nakedness was uncovered. His vulnerability was uncovered. The drunkenness takes away our inhibitions. It takes away those things that it takes control of us and shows us what we really are. I don't want to be under the control of anything. Anything except the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the Chaldeans were covered with shame, but the glory of God will cover the entire earth. For the violence done to Lebanon will cover you. The violence that you've done to Lebanon, you Chaldeans, the violence that you've done to other people, it will not go forgotten. It will not be overlooked. It is the violence done to Lebanon will cover you. And the plunder of beasts, which made them afraid because of men's blood and the violence of the land and the city and all who dwell in it. What profit is the image that its maker should carve it? Verse 18. The molded image, a teacher of lies, a molded image. You've molded this image, and it is a teacher of lies, that the maker of its mold should trust in it. The thing that I've made, I'm going to trust in it to do stuff for me? I created it? It to make mute idols? Ones that can't talk, can't speak to me? In verse 19, woe to him who says to wood, awake, to silent stone, arise, it shall teach. Behold, it is overlaid with gold and silver, yet in it there is no breath at all. There is nothing in there. God himself breathed the breath of life into Adam. God himself breathed the breath of life into Adam. Turn with me to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. We're going to start with verse 18 in Romans chapter 1. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Verse 19, because what may be known of God is manifested in them, for God has shown it to them. They knew the ways of God. They knew the ways of God, and yet they went their own way. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen in everything, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were they thankful. And their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And what did they do? They changed the glory, verse 23, of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-legged animals and creeping things. They created their own God that could neither hear nor speak, couldn't move on its own, created something that just stood there, and then prayed to it. God, the maker of the heavens and the earth, God, the one who breathed into the lungs of Adam, the breath of life. But oh, you might feel a little bit beat up on what you've just heard, on all of these things that we've all put together. But I want to take you to verse 20 in Habakkuk chapter 2. But God, but God, but God, but the Lord is in his holy place. The Lord is in his holy place. Let all the earth keep silence before him. The Lord is still on his throne. But God, but the Lord is in his holy temple. thou shalt not sweat it. God has got this. He's got you. He has you in the palm of his hand. He's not going to let you go. He is going to be, he's going to strengthen you. He's going to encourage you. He's going to walk with you. He's going to speak to you if you will stop and listen and take the time to hear his voice. Take the time to invest time with the Lord God. Look up, for your redemption draws near. And so, Lord Jesus, we look to that day when you speak to us and you say, come on up here. I want you to be with me. I've prepared a place for you. And we thank you, Lord, that you are in this place. Wherever we are at, Lord, you are in this place. Thank you, Father, that you go before us, you go behind us, you go on either side of us. Lord, that you surround us with your love. You surround us with your grace. You surround us with your peace. And you fill us with that joy unspeakable and full of your glory. Thank you, Lord, that you finish this chapter with something that brings us back to you, to rejoice in you, that reminder that you have not been caught by surprise. Thank you, Lord, that you are still on your throne. Thank you, Lord, that you are still in charge. Thank you, Lord, that you are good and that your mercy endures unto all generations. In Jesus' name, amen. So now, next week, we'll hear Habakkuk's response to what God has spoken to him. And I am excited to share with you the things that God spoke to Habakkuk, knowing that in us, he can do the same thing. He can make a difference in us. He can change us. He can mold us. He can make us into people that are worthy of the calling on which we are called. So God bless you all, and you will see me next week. I wish I could see you. I do wish I could see you. But know that you are in my prayers, and you are in my heart, and that you are loved by a God who will always stand beside you. Keep doing great things for God. Jesus, we worship you for all you are. Father, we want to bow our whole life down. Spirit, invade the broken places in our hearts. The places in our hearts.
Thank you for listening to this Heart to Heart Women's Bible Study recorded at Refuge Calvary Chapel in Huntington Beach. We hope you've been encouraged by today's lesson and will join us again as we continue to study through the Word of God. For more information about the Heart to Heart Women's Ministry, please visit our website at www.refugefamily.com or call our office at 714-891-9495.